Hey, everybody, a new idea that I have about impeaching the administrative state. People say, Charlie, if we take back Congress, should we impeach Joe Biden? I'm not so sure about that, actually, and I'll tell you why. The fourth branch of government is in desperate need of a check and a balance. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. You can support The Charlie Kirk Show by typing in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider and hitting subscribe. That is Charlie Kirk Show, and hit subscribe. As always, you can email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter or a college chapter today at tpusa.com. You guys got to see us on tour. Candace Owens and I, tpusa.com/tour. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. There is a new way where they try to destroy people, not just by indicting them, not just by raiding their homes, but by leaking, I think it should be illegal, from the Department of Justice, rumors that destroy somebody's reputation, that creates this mire of guilt. They tried to do this to the great Matt Gaetz over the last year and a half to try to take him off the playing field and put him on the sidelines. And now prosecutors are recommending no charges against Matt Gaetz after they smeared and slandered his character under some of the most, let's just say, breathtaking allegations, of which, obviously, there is zero evidence whatsoever to support. They try to destroy his career, try to destroy his reputation, try to destroy his name. I'm very proud at Turning Point USA. We did not give into this. He spoke at our events throughout this. He came on our program throughout all of this. Not everyone will be able to say the same, and he joins us right now, hopefully for a victory lap. Congressman Matt Gaetz is here. Matt, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me, Charlie. The Washington Post report was not a big surprise to me because I know the things I've done and the things I haven't, but it was certainly welcome news. And I think back to when a CNN director was caught by Project Veritas on a recording saying that they knew they were propagandizing my life, but they were purposefully running baseless allegations against me over and over because I'm effective. They admitted it. They admitted that my work in Congress, the tough questions I ask Biden administration officials, the legislation that I support, that's the reason they came for me. And I'm glad to be on the other side of it, working hard for the good folks in my district.
Yeah. And so, Matt, just for a second, and I know you have to be careful the way you talk about some of this stuff, and your lawyers, I'm sure, are, you know, prepping you. And I totally respect and appreciate that, and I support it. But can you talk a little bit, because you did make a decision when these leaks happened and the smear campaign, you know, continued against or started against you. You decided to be public, to do events. You decided to not just retreat and resign, but to almost lean in and do things publicly and to continue your work. Can you talk about that calculus you made?
I learned it from President Trump. I learned that you don't let the process be the punishment. They tried everything they could to get President Trump off his game with abject lies. Lies that were told by the FBI, that were cycled through a series of authorized leaks to the mainstream media, and then aggregated and repeated breathlessly. And he continued to focus on what the American people needed. And so I really took a lot of comfort in observing his approach to that. And look, I mean, I did hear all the talking heads on MSNBC and elsewhere say, Matt Gaetz is crazy. Why is he out in public denying these things and talking about these things? Any smart lawyer would tell him to go hide under his bed and never come out. And frankly, that's just not the way innocent people behave. If you didn't do something and people are accusing you of it, I wanted to be out in front of the country answering questions. I came on your program.
That's right.
We had no script, no rules. I said, Charlie, ask me anything you want to ask me, and I am going to lay out the truth. And I'm glad that even though, like, when I told the country that there were people trying to use lies to shake down my family for $25 million,
now that
it probably sounded bizarre.
That has been proven by a jury of the peers that there was a blackmail operation against your family. That's legit.
Yes. And there is someone who has been sentenced to prison for 5 years for trying to use this web of lies to try to extract money from my family. So each and every day, the things that I said from the beginning were borne out to be true. And a lot of the media smears and rumors have been debunked.
I just want to just dwell on this for a second for our audience. So here's some context. Matt Gaetz, in the calendar year 2020, probably did 100 events, 300 cable news hits. Very viral on social media, very articulate, drove the media nuts, was able to defend the MAGA agenda, was able to build the base, was able to be a fresh face and a young, you know, a younger kind of voice. The media saw that as a threat in Congress and they wanted to torpedo it. Not just the media, the Uniparty. I think both parties were involved in this because Matt Gaetz spoke out against foreign wars. Matt Gaetz spoke out against the intelligence agency. Matt Gaetz talked about all these different things that you're not supposed to talk about. So then the Department of Justice needed to do what they do, which is try to take people off the chessboard. If they can't debate you, if they can't dialogue with you, if they can't leak things, then they're going to try to go through character assassination. They're going to go through character assassination via the Justice Department. So the evidence was never there, but all they need is a rumor. So they try the next best thing, which is destroy your character via rumor. And I remember when the story came out, the first reaction I had, I remember exactly where I was in Naples, Florida. I said, Matt is a serious threat to the regime. This is a huge move. This is the stuff they do against four-star generals that speak out. This is not, they don't do this against congressmen very often. And basically, they were alleging the awful things. I don't have to get into the allegations because they're not true. And so then they try to put Matt in a penalty box. And I think the regime was shocked and stunned the way you reacted. The way you reacted was that, no, I'm going to not even defend. There's nothing here. And you kept on doing events. It was purely a tactic. It was a tactical move by the Democrats and by the Uniparty to destroy one of our most articulate voices. And now 18 months later, you have to spend all these money on legal fees. The guy who tried to blackmail your family is going to jail, a legit component to this. Nothing as much of an apology or recourse. Matt, are you going to sue the federal government for what they made you go through here?
Well, I think the federal government enjoys sovereign immunity, so I probably won't be able to sue them. But I am taking counsel of, you know, some of the just baseless stories that were written about me. And particularly when CNN has one of their own directors saying, we are doing this with malice. We know these things are propaganda, but we're doing it on purpose because we want Matt Gaetz to be less effective in blocking the Democrat agenda. I mean, it's laid out in Technicolor. And so I am looking at that. But, you know, the fights I want to be in are the fights on behalf of our fellow Americans, people who are mistreated as a consequence of January 6th, people who are suffering under this economy, people who can't afford gas to work. So I don't want to become so enveloped in what happened to me that I miss being in the
But it's an instructive
story.
Americans. But because, Matt, you know that, and I understand that's the right answer for you, but it's my job also to broaden this for everybody that they were trying to turn you into a show trial. It was a Soviet tactic, right? They saw you as a threat. They wanted to put you on public display. They wanted to try to shut your mouth, right? They didn't like how you were snarky on Twitter. They didn't like how you drew big crowds. They didn't like, and I have a whole theory. There was no coincidence the leak happened just weeks after you went to Wyoming and drew 700 people against then Congresswoman Liz Cheney. Remember that? You go out to Wyoming, you draw a big crowd, everyone writes about it, and Politico said, my goodness, he did it. I can't believe it. He drew a big crowd, a Florida congressman in Wyoming, and then just by coincidence, we're supposed to believe that the same Cheney-built deep state leaked something against you. I think that there's cause and effect there. I really do. But anyway, I don't want to dwell on this too much, but I just want to tell our audience that what happened here is outrageous. It could happen to anybody. Matt Gaetz not just survived, but he's stronger than ever. Now, my own personal opinion is if you saw Matt Gaetz, you know, freed up before to say what he wants, I mean, now it's going to be scorched earth, right? So speaking of which, Matt, you have said that you are afraid the Republican establishment does not want to pursue impeachment proceedings against Biden and his criminals in his cabinet. I saw that and it caught my eye the other day. Elaborate.
A lot of Republicans right now think that we can take the majority and return everything back to their version of normal. Unfortunately, that is managed American decline. I have Republicans fighting against my desire to immediately announce an impeachment inquiry into Mayorkas. I mean, if you're a Republican and you're not for impeaching Mayorkas for what he's done to the border on purpose, then I don't really think that you share the energy and the values of a lot of the people who are actually knocking on the doors and making phone calls and talking to voters with Tyler out in Mesa, Arizona. So mm-hmm. I think that we have to have a unified Republican strategy around these investigations and impeachments. And you know what? The establishment is still going to be around. People out in America need to know the establishment hasn't left Washington. A matter of fact, I got a call from the Washington Post the other day, Charlie, and a reporter said, "We have sourcing that you, Matt Gaetz, were talking about the need to have Charlie Kirk as the head of the Republican National Committee." And I was not in a position to deny that reporting. And you are the most energetic organizer in our movement. Kind. And I do think we need to think about these institutions like the Republican National Committee as a springboard to the type of energy and enthusiasm that will build out a policy agenda that we could actually execute rather than just having like endless little like palm card releases of talking points, not really an agenda.
Yeah. And just for everyone's clear, I love being a radio host. Okay. Let's just be very clear. But, and I appreciate the campaign led by Matt Gaetz to try to draft me to run the RNC. Boy, that would be fun. Matt, in closing here, what candidates in particular are you spending your time and energy and resources? I think you're going to be fine in your race. It's a comfortably Republican district, but where are you spending your time, energy, and resources? What candidates do you like the best? And then I know you got to run for votes.
Well, let me give you three quick ones. The America First warrior on the West Coast is Joe Kent. He beat Jamie Herrera Butler in a primary, but faces a tough general. So if you can help out Joe Kent in Washington State, up in the Northeast, Caroline Leavitt is running an inspirational campaign in New Hampshire. And I've got to mention my Florida woman buddy, Ana Paulina Luna, who is going to flip Charlie Crist's seat. And she's got a great connection to Turning Point.
That's
I know
right.
Turning Point was a springboard
graduate
for her.
We could say, right? She went through the whole process, had a lot of fun together, did a lot of campus stuff, and now she's going to be a member of Congress, which I think will be our first member of Congress, we could say, from Turning Point to Congress. That'd be kind of fun, right?
So definitely not the last.
That's the beginning, and that's why the regime wants to come after both of us. Matt, go vote. Hopefully no on whatever it is, because it's probably garbage being proposed by Nancy Pelosi, so don't put too much thought into it. I think no across the board should be smart, but I don't know what you're voting for. Matt, God bless you. Congratulations. Keep fighting.
All right. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks. Right now, Bank of America has just lowered its 2022 forecast for the S&P 500 by a whopping 900 points to 3,600. Saying we're headed for a recession this year, it said the new year target is the lowest on the street. This is not good news for those of you stuck in equities or anything tied to stock markets. I know thousands of people who have put their trust in Noble Gold to prevent losing money in the financial storm that is brewing. You can join them by calling their expert team. Noble Gold has recently voted the number one gold company in the country by Consumer Affairs. No call centers, no scripted response, no bull, just a straight, honest run through options so you can decide. And by the way, they're giving away a beautiful 1/10 ounce gold American Eagle coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover this month. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold. Call the team now at 877-646-5347 to find out more or visit noblegoldinvestments.com. That is noblegoldinvestments.com. Look, the fourth branch of government is unchecked, unelected, unaccountable, with unknown amounts of power. We have to do something in this new Congress, in my opinion, to put points on the board against the easiest person that we can kind of put in the let's say, the hot seat. And that is Alejandro Mayorkas or Becerra or Merrick Garland, any one of these people. But Mayorkas more than anybody else. 5 million people in the last 2 years have waltzed into the country on his watch. It puts the border on a frontier issue. And again, of course, I'm in favor of impeaching Joe Biden. Of course I am. But do I think he's running the country? And one thing I think that we can possibly do is build a broader case of an intergovernmental conspiracy against the American people, and it starts with the border. You impeach Mayorkas. When was the last time a cabinet official has been successfully impeached? I don't think it's ever happened in recent memory. I don't. The last one I think would be the last time we had, let's just say, cabinet presidential widespread resignations, I think would be the Teapot Dome scandal. The Teapot Dome scandal was, I believe, about an oil reservoir in Wyoming. Again, I'm just drawing from memory here. Under the either Harding, I think it was, yeah, with Warren G. Harding. I'm trying to go from memory here. And it was kind of that whole Ohio gang is what they called it. Ah, there it is. Yep, Warren G. Harding, Teapot Dome scandal was a bribery scandal which involved a Navy and Petroleum Reserves in Teapot Dome, Wyoming. How's that for my history memory? yes, and then it resulted in Senator Tom Walsh being convicted of bribery charges. And then Fall became the first presidential cabinet member to go to prison. So there is precedent in that way. So I don't know if it's happened since then, but Teapot Dome in the early 1920s was this mass scandal. It was considered the greatest scandal. What happened on the southern border makes Teapot Dome and the Watergate scandal look like child's play. Again, that's 100 years ago was Teapot Dome. 100 years ago. And so I think from a strategy standpoint, we got to go after the actual inner workings of the government, which starts with the cabinet secretaries and officials. So you can impeach any one of these people. Anyone who's Senate confirmed can be impeached. And so if you go through the process of impeachment, preserve those documents, Mayorkas. Tell us why you allowed 5 million people to illegally enter the United States, trying to destroy the Remain in Mexico policy. All of these different things we need to, and by the way, Miguel Cardona needs to be impeached as well. Totally corrupt criminal running the Department of Education. Now, the U.S. Senate was the one that actually investigated the Teapot Dome scandal in the 1920s. What I'm getting at, and it was such a big deal when they did it, actually built consensus post-Harding, which then would have given us Hoover. Yeah, that sounds right. I think that's correct. And from there, obviously, then FDR came afterwards, but it built widespread consensus against that administration. The point is that if you just impeach Joe Biden, how much do you think you're going to get? What kind of documents? What kind of revelations? Do we think the long-term horizon is going to be the American people versus Joe Biden or American people versus the administrative state? If we think it's the American people versus the administrative state, of which I believe, then you have to try to pinpoint and pick the issue, the person, and the personnel and the structure that you think is the greatest threat to American liberty and the American future. And I think you could do this simultaneously with Mayorkas and Merrick Garland, the FBI. That's where I would focus a lot more of my time. And I think it would take Biden by surprise. I think that if you just kind of ignore Biden as a puppet and as a fill-in, as a hologram, as a mirage, if you kind of put Biden off to the side, like, we know you're not the long-term future of the party, you're just being controlled by these people. Because look, in a dictatorship, it's the other way around. But we have an upside-down dictatorship that we're living under. A dictatorship is Joseph Stalin on top, and he controls everybody. He has hundreds of thousands of guards, which, interestingly enough, Joseph Stalin had 100,000 personal guards that protected him. But we have an upside-down dictatorship, or an inverted dictatorship, let's call it, where the administrative state is actually running Joe Biden, where we have the FBI, the CIA, the Department of Justice, DHS, that's actually controlling Biden. I don't consider Biden to be the long-term threat on the horizon. Is Biden a traitor? Of course Biden's a traitor. Has he sold out the country to the Chinese? Yes. But is that the long-term, multi-generational threat? No. I think we have to wage a counteroffensive against the administrative state, Mayorkas, Garland, Cardona, all of them simultaneously. That has to be a priority for this new Republican Congress. We're getting a lot of emails. I want to continue on this theme because I can sense there's some energy. And there's not consensus, and it's not bad disagreement. It's healthy. I love disagreement, and I love differences of opinion. Some people agree with me, but I'm saying that if the Republicans take back the House and the Senate, people say we must impeach Joe Biden. And I think a better focus, a better use of time is creating an impeachment strategy, not around Joe Biden, who's a temporary figurehead for a regime, but instead really focusing on the inversion of the United States Constitution and how we are living in an upside down dictatorship. So let me just ask a series of questions. And again, I'm all for getting rid of Joe Biden, obviously, but if you remove Joe Biden, then Kamala Harris would just fill him. And you kind of got to ask, what's the point? Fill the position. And what's the point of that? Not to say that Joe Biden's not a traitor. Of course he is. But a couple questions. Do we think for the next couple generations, the next 20 or 30 years, do we think that we're going to be fighting against Joe Biden? Or do we think it's the administrative state? Do we think for the next 50 years, the threat to American liberty will be Joe Biden, the person, or the administrative state, the machine? Here's another series of questions. Do we think that with a presidential impeachment, we would have the mandate or the ability to uncover and hold accountable what has become this superstructure of the fourth branch of government, which is why I recommend three or four simultaneous impeachments at once of Mayorkas, of Cardona, of Garland, and of Christopher Wray. Impeach four of them at once and make it about the idea of the fourth branch of government. And yes, some of you are saying, well, Charlie, those are just interchangeable parts. Well, you're not impeaching them as a person. You're impeaching their actions and you're impeaching the machinery. You're basically going to try to prove to the American people how there is an inside-out relationship with government of cronyism, of favoritism, of selective enforcement. I believe that is a much better use of time, energy, and resources than just making it about an interchangeable part of Joe Biden, who very well could be replaced by Michelle Obama or Kamala Harris or Pete Buttigieg. Instead, what if we did something unprecedented with power? What if we impeached the entire administrative state? And then, yes, put names to those faces. And so what you have to do is you have to follow some of Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals. One of Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals, of course, Saul Alinsky is a leftist, but some of the rules, by the way, are very, very effective if employed for proper purposes. And one of them is about finding a target. Pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. And so the administrative state is a kind of, what's the right word I'm looking for? It's very hard to define. Because it's so big and it's just so massive, it kind of feels like you're fighting against a blob or a Borg. So then you find a figurehead for it. And that figurehead very well could be Merrick Garland, Mayorkas, or several figureheads. And by the way, how about impeaching Anthony Fauci? So now you're really talking. So you got Fauci, you got Garland, you got Mayorkas. And the point that I think will be so powerful, if we have proper Republican leadership and if we do our job in the media, is we make the argument to the American people that these people have actually become the sovereign, that their machinery actually has more power than the executive branch. And this goes and it lays the foundation and the framework for a Trump 2024 campaign. It helps for a constitutional reset, for a medical reset. Instead, here's my fear. If we just go impeach Joe Biden, which again, I'm all for it, and I'm even impeaching Kamala Harris and impeaching Joe Biden, all that's fine. Do we have the votes in the Senate to remove them from office? Probably not. Let's just be realistic, even if we win a bunch of seats. But we very well might have the votes to go impeach Mayorkas, who kept our borders wide open, or Fauci, who lied about gain-of-function research, mRNA, gene-altering technology. And in the process of that impeachment of the cabinet officials, we will find a reservoir, a massive amount of information about their actions, their communications, their funding, their motivations. It would be an opportunity to reveal this fourth branch of government that has never actually been properly held accountable. So you go pick four or five of the figureheads of this kind of administrative state, of the deep state, you could call it. We could rebrand it, impeach the deep state. Instead of impeaching Biden, go impeach the swamp itself. Now, it's too much to say we just got to impeach the cabinets. You got to find a target, as Alinsky would say. Pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, polarize it. And in a time where people want a restoration of sovereign government, in a time where we want to restore the promise of the structure of the Constitution and the constitutional order and a free society, is it a better use of time to impeach Joe Biden, the person, or the administrative state? Friend of mine, Andrea, emailed me, super smart person. She said, Charlie, Joe is a traitor and must be impeached. Read Laptop from Hell and red-handed. There's absolute proof of outrageous treasonous behavior by Biden personally that cannot go unpunished. I agree. But just pragmatically, how much longer do we think Joe Biden is going to be president, is going to be clear thinking, and is Joe Biden really the best use of our energy, time, or resources, or is it more appropriate to focus on the massive threat of liberty, the machinery? It would be a very interesting curveball where you almost ignore Biden, where you say Biden is a traitor, Biden has sold out our country, but we know that what we're actually more concerned about is this inverted dictatorship. And I'm not discounting any of it. Andrea is a great American and she supported Turning Point USA for a long time. I just see it a little bit differently. I want to tell you about one of the most important organizations in the country, created by co-founder of the Home Depot, Bernie Marcus. The folks at Job Creators Network defend and advance policies that help small business owners across America grow their business. We talk a lot about labor in the media, and we're always responding to the complaints of labor, and that's fine. Obviously, it's important, but who actually creates the jobs that labor actually is able to enjoy? Big business has their lobbyists, but small ones don't always have the time or money to defend themselves against the forces of global corporations and their crony capitalist pals in the kingdom of Washington, D.C. Job Creators Network, that's right, Job Creators Network fights for small business owners across America. And they're looking for a few good men and women to join their growing army of small business advocates. They'll train you to be the face and voice of Main Street in your communities and beyond. To learn more, go to jobcreatorsnetwork.com. That is jobcreatorsnetwork.com. Small business is the heartbeat, the backbone, the lifeblood of our economy and the American dream. Learn how you can join this growing army of advocates. Go to jobcreatorsnetwork.com now and hit the red join button. If you are a small business owner, if you're involved, go to jobcreatorsnetwork.com. That is jobcreatorsnetwork.com. Someone says here, Karen says, Charlie, be smart and go for the metaphorical jugular of the administrative state. It's not what they expect. The administrative is so entrenched that Republicans will have trouble finding the necessary Republicans who have any stones against them to go against them. That's probably right. And that's exactly why we should go against them. If the administrative state truly runs our government, if the administrative state is the one that is the sovereign right now in our country, doesn't that necessitate the greatest response? Let me ask you another question. If we do not impeach Mayorkas, Garland, Fauci, Ray, Cardona, and Becerra, or any one of those people, do you think that there would be any sort of fear in future cabinets to not undermine a future Donald Trump presidency? Part of my thinking is that creating the precedent by going a little bit lower and going after the lieutenants of the Stalinists actually will create discord, and then all of a sudden you will see the regime go into self-preservation. If you go after the figurehead, immediately Joe Biden, the Democrats will rally behind Joe Biden the same way they rallied behind Bill Clinton with his impeachment in the 1990s. But if you go after the bureaucracy itself, you go after the person who's running the machinery, and there's plenty of crimes with Fauci, there's plenty of crimes with Garland, all of a sudden you're going to see the rats start jumping off the ship. You're going to see all of a sudden the administrative state try to preserve their documents. They're going to start lying on each other. They're going to start saying, I wasn't approved of that, and that wasn't this. And then you can start to build a broader case, a consensus to wipe out the administrative state, the fourth branch of government as we know it right now. Shauna says, Charlie, I have to reluctantly agree. Impeach all the administrative state, then we can hide Biden's executive order pen and there'll be no one for him to find it. Our real problem is rhinos who will undermine our MAGA candidates. They may even supply Biden with a new pen. That's well said. I think if we think more broadly, though, you go after the machine, but you go after more than the machine. You find the figureheads of the machine and you turn it into a nonstop PR campaign. And you use it as a chance to educate, build consensus and a movement to the American people who's actually running this government. You're able to lean on the Constitution. You're able to lean on the separation of powers, consent of the governed, independent judiciary, checks and balances, and show how we're living in an upside down dictatorship, in an inverted dictatorship where this middle bureaucracy is actually running the country. I do want some, if you're all like, hey, Charlie, we have to only impeach Joe Biden, nobody else. That's fine. I agree. He's a total traitor. But But I do want to ask the question, though. How do you think that's going to end up? Do you think we have the votes? Do you think it will be about ideas and long-term consensus to save the country, or more about just, oh, this is Joe Biden, you're picking on a cruel old guy, you're being cruel and picking on an old guy who's not going to run for president again? I would much rather make a multi-generational argument, a take-back campaign, to make sure the FBI, the CIA, the DOJ, Fauci, and all these other criminals feel as if there's a check and balance the first time in their lifetime in over 100 years. So we're kind of playing around with this idea of what to do when Republicans take back power. We're getting some very favorable emails. Some people disagree. No nasty emails. We got a couple nasty people, but whatever. Not reasonable. Some people say, Charlie, go right for the head of the snake. And you got to ask, but how do you take out the mafia, right? Do you go straight for the head, or do you go after the inner workings? The administrative state has gone unchecked for 100 years. We've gone through presidential impeachments, and they usually end rather messy, honestly. They end up very political. But you talk about going after the Gang of Four, the Gang of Five simultaneously. Christopher Wray, DOJ, Merrick Garland, Anthony Fauci, Mayorkas, and Becerra and or Cardona. You go after five of them and you have a picture of all five of them lined up. And the Republicans then make the argument, this is the sovereign. You make the argument that it shouldn't be the sovereign. You have a picture. I get to see the picture on the front page of the New York Times, all five of them lined up. Fauci, Garland, Ray, Cardona, and Mayorkas. Five of them, just right across, all their names, kind of in a Senate hearing. And you make the argument that these people combined actually have more power than Joe Biden. Going after Joe Biden could end up so divisive. He's on his way out. He probably won't run in 2024. I think that announcement is coming soon. And is it about, and this is just the broader question, is it about Biden the person that is the biggest threat to your grandkids' future? Or is it the machinery that got Biden implemented into office? Which one is a greater threat? Joe Biden the person, or the machinery that helped implement Joe Biden? Because when they wanted to get, for example, the FBI to suppress 2020 Hunter Biden stories, they went straight to Facebook. When they wanted to say that the Russian laptop was disinformation, they did it like this. When they want to keep the southern border wide open, they do all that. So where is the power? Where is the sovereign? Who is in charge? And if you have Fauci in the mix there, all of a sudden you make things very interesting because Fauci is a rat. These guys are going to go into pure preservation mode. And you can't just do one of them. You got to do five at once. You got to have them all of a sudden prioritize which one of their instruments do they care about most. You see, if you just do one, they'll say, oh, poor Anthony Fauci. If you just do two, they'll be, but you have five of them all lined up across. And then you have Matt Gaetz and you have Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene. And you got Jim Jordan, you got Andy Biggs, and you got Byron Donalds, and hopefully Anna Paulina and Caroline Levitt. And all of a sudden you got them hammering them with questions and subpoenas and committees, not just for one and five. How will the regime be able to compensate with an all-out investigation into five of them? Now, some people are saying, Joe makes a good point here, emails me freedom@charliekirk.com. He says that the Republicans don't have the stones to impeach anyone. I disagree. The people are in charge now. This party has changed profoundly. We're calling the shots now. We're going to be able to get legitimate oversight done. That's if we are clear on what we want. Now, if what we want is a simple impeachment of Joe Biden, I'm not saying that's inconsequential, and they're not saying he doesn't deserve it, then it would probably pass the House, and then immediately Democrats say, oh, they're trying to impeach the president, impeach an old man, and blah, 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 blah. In some ways, Joe Biden is a patsy. He's a fall guy. They want us to take that bait. Like, come on, just impeach him. But if you're saying, actually, no, we want to go after a broad-based campaign of the deep state, the administrative state, the shadow government, we're going to use our new Congress to create a totally new consensus, a grassroots movement against this 100-year destruction of American liberty post-Woodrow Wilson. For 100 years, the administrative state has not been checked and balanced. for 100 years. This could be a once-in-a-generation opportunity to totally change the framework to show that we're actually living in an inverted dictatorship where Stalin's not running the country, where Stalin's lieutenants are running the country. And then you have Garland, Mayorkas, Fauci, all of them, one by one by one. They have to give answers. Document preservation. Why'd you target moms and dads' school board meetings? Where did the virus originate from? Why is the border completely and totally wide open? Why'd you give a stand down order to the Border Patrol? Why'd you get rid of Remain in Mexico? They will not be able to have enough smear cover-up campaigns. The New York Times will be off their narrative every day because you're going to be impeaching a different part of the machine. Every day you could have a new part of the machine you're trying to impeach. They won't be able to do their counter-narrative, and they're going to be like, what are we doing? Finally, the people are going to be taking back the machinery. You go just for Joe Biden, they're going to make it about personal politics. They're not interested in governing, all this nonsense. Not that we care as much about the media, but it does disable kind of their mockingbird machinery. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.